Welcome to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. Episode 1. There were newcomers in the treeless forest. Three of them. They moved in a line, the smallest figure at the back trailing behind the other two as they trudged through the broken landscape. Every few steps, one of them would look up cautiously at the monstrous stacks of rock and moonstone that twisted high above their heads, tall as the pines of Northwood and stretching out in unnatural lines a day's walk in any direction. The structures were old, and the blistered ground was littered with decades of rockfall, the boulders bare of moss and shattered into strange patterns. A stone dislodged from the towering heights could kill. The figures had been moving along the valleys between the stacks for weeks now, picking their way between the rubble, heading towards morning one day, and turning in the direction of sunset on the next, moving one row further south each time. When they came to the carcass of a fallen tower, they would either pick their way over its bones or spend a half morning finding another way around. The two buzzards had watched their progress closely as the figures edged nearer every day to their nesting site. It was unusual to see anything moving between the moonstone stacks, and these creatures were the first large animals the birds had seen since leaving Cold Mountain. The cliffs here were riddled with vast caverns and provided the rats and other rodentia with plenty of safe spaces where the birds could not easily fly. Moving around inside the towers was like flying in the tightest of thickets, slow going and not easy. But the small groundlings of the treeless forest were particularly dull and stupid, and they frequently strayed from the safety of the caverns into the wide open spaces between, where the buzzards were quick to pick them off. It gave them a plentiful supply of meat, and they never had to worry about the politics that had complicated their hunting so much back in the green forests of the kingdom. So many of their kind had been reduced to plucking bloodfruit from the higher branches to survive, reluctant to take any small creature of the forest that bore the mark of the bloodwood on their skin. The risk of reprisal was too great. Staying there was impossible. This new land, dry as it was, gave the children of the wind the freedom to hunt as they wished, to use beak and claw as the gods intended. In the treeless forest, there was no bloodwood tree. Here the two of them had a chance to be free. But that freedom was threatened by the arrival of these new creatures. Whatever they were. The three of them had bodies similar to bears, with fur so short that the folds of their skin could be seen hanging loose and empty. It was as though all their meat had been stripped from inside of them, leaving nothing but bones and skin that moved with their own will. They balanced on their hind legs, forepaws hanging limp by their sides, or hooked around thin branches of moonstone that clung tangled to the shallow fur. Their eyes were huge in their heads, and flat, like the ice of a lake, two blank circles that caught the light and flashed in the midday sun. These were not bears. These were something else. The buzzards had built their nest high on a thin shelf that ran the edge of one of the sheer stone towers, inaccessible to even the most agile of groundlings. The birds felt no fear as these strange creatures trudged closer, their mouths hidden behind a blanket of tight-knit hair hanging loose across their muzzleless faces. If the creatures down there were scavenging for eggs, they would find the climb to the nest impossible. The rock face was too high and too smooth to gain any foothold. For now, the clutch of speckled eggs remained secure. The smallest of the creatures stopped moving and bent over, examining some scrap it had found in one of the hollow moonstone boulders that lined the edges of the narrow valley floor. It cradled the object like a newborn in one of its paws. The thing it held was the size of a thin, flat pebble. It had sharp, angular corners and was the colour of wood. Lichen patterned its surface. There were many of these strange pebbles in the treeless forest, most of them rotting gently in stacks within the caverns of the stone towers. The two birds watched as the creature's long, delicate claws took the edges of the pebble and unfolded it, spreading its insides like petals in bloom. The other two creatures had finally spotted the nest and began barking loudly at each other. The smaller one seemed not to hear the ruckus, absorbed in the pebble's folds. It studied the petals so intently that the largest of the three creatures had to walk over and place a paw on the small one's shoulder to jolt its attention to their discovery. The sign words of the groundlings were difficult to understand at the best of times. The minds of earthbound animals were far too literal and flat for meaningful communication. But the signals made between these two creatures down there seemed different to anything the buzzards had seen back in the Bloodwoods. They were smaller, the movements quick and sharp. It was only the largest and the smallest of the creatures who signed to each other, though all three continued taking turns in grunting and chirping their excitement. Reaching some sort of agreement, the smallest ducked down behind a red boulder and untangled a long moonstone stick from the hair on its back. The others watched as it lay the stick on top of the boulder, resting its head gently against one end and angling the other up towards the nest. Then there was silence. The birds looked down, curious, and the creature stared back along the length of the moonstone branch with cold, flat eyes. It didn't even blink. For a moment, they thought it might have died. Maybe if they waited long enough, the other two beings would drift away, and the birds would find themselves with a cache of carrion that could last them weeks. But the creature was not dead. It let out a small, shallow breath, held it, and sudden thunder shook the narrow valley. You've been listening to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. To learn more, visit olliefrancis.co.uk, where you can discover how to support the project and influence where the story's going. Until then, may the gods always hear your song.